Right? Some guys are just shaking and shuddering. I say you don't ask. According to me, my opinion, you don't ask her to marry you, tell her to marry you, right? But that doesn't work very well, right? You at any point in time, you can ask the question if you feel that she's going to, that she will give you a yes. There is no time limit. It is recommended that people, Baal Tshuvas, that have become frum, and they've had more varying backgrounds, more time is recommended. People who are raised in a more traditional Orthodox society, generally it takes anywhere between 3 and 10 meetings, usually not less and not more. In extreme Orthodox societies, in Mea Sharm, like Hasidic societies, very often it's one meeting. It's one meeting, the couple meets, right? They talk for a little while, somebody opens the door and says, no! What's going on? Right? Let's have it. Yes or no, right? We can't spend all day talking to women, right? Yes or no, right? Very often. Now, be aware that we spoke earlier that it is prohibited to get married sight unseen. Male's not allowed to get married sight unseen. And you cannot be coerced into marrying somebody. You have your choice. You're allowed to say yes. You're allowed to say no. If you feel that you don't want to marry this person, you have every right to say no. You should be tactful, and it should generally go through the shadchan. Right. I could tell you, I come from the same type of society you do. I come from a socializing society, and going into the shidduch, I was also wondering, thinking to myself, how could I possibly meet somebody? Right? This is so, everything is just so formal, right? It's going to take so long to find out whether I want to marry this person or not, right? We're going to have to date for months and months until we get married. I was young at the time, right? How am I possibly going to do this? The second date that I met my wife, I said to her in the middle of the date, now this was absolutely the most inconsiderate thing anybody could have done, right? But she's found out worse since then. But I said to her at the time, right, we're in the middle of the second date, and I said to her, listen, if I ever propose, you can ask her if you want, right? I said to her, if I ever propose, do me a favor, don't give me a runaround. You tell me yes, you tell me no, right? Don't tell me you got to think about it and drain me a cup. If I propose, you say yes, or she got real nervous. That was neat. She got real nervous, right? Because there on the second day I was talking marriage already. And then she had the last word, though, because eventually on the seventh date, she was rambling on about something, right? And in mid-sentence, I just said to her, so, you know, you want to get married? She says, me to who? Right, so true story. You could ask her. I said it into the tape recorder. The bottom line is that there's no pressure, and you have every right to turn down whoever it is that's been suggested. If you do get engaged, there's no halachic validity to the engagement. Right, you don't have to give her a ring first thing. You just say that you agree to get married. And then it is recommended that the wedding take place as soon as possible after the engagement. The engagement period very often is a very stressful period. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's no physical contact. It's a very stressful period. And therefore, in Torah society, weddings will take place as soon as is possible logistically to get the wedding. Sometimes it means bring relatives and getting married in Israel or not getting married in Israel, but very often the wedding will take place as soon as possible. I know one guy who came to Israel with a 6-week ticket, met a girl the first week, flew to South Africa, got married, came back to Israel, and went back home with his wife on that 6-week round trip to the ticket. Right? True story, right? Not recommended. Definitely not recommended. Definitely not recommended. Predetermination. We do believe that the match is predestined, but we do not believe in behaving irresponsibly. Right? Very often, just to say, well, obviously God's going to take care of it, that's irresponsible behavior, and that is not recommended. Baal Tshuvas, I've heard that, I think Rabbi Gottlieb recommends somewhere between 6 and 8 months. Whoa. Right? Others recommend shorter periods of time, certainly not less than a month. Certainly not less than a month, and the meetings should take place. There should be a certain amount of time between each meeting. Some meetings should take place during the day. Some meetings should take place at night. You should see each other under different circumstances, how people react to stress, how people react to meeting other people, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Any questions?
Is it true that, in fact, it is in real life, it is very rare that Baal Tshuva marries a person who is not Baal Tshuva, who was practicing from the very from the moment of
It is not, I don't know if it's rare, it's not very common, and there's a very good reason for it. You should look for someone who is as close to you in background as possible. Right? You should find somebody, not only that, the Talmud says that a person should marry a woman from his own town. right? Because a woman from his own town has got the same mental framework, mental makeup that he has very often. In the United States, if you're a Midwestern, you should marry someone from the Midwest. If you're from the East Coast, you should marry from the South. It doesn't mean it can't marry other, it can't work in other ways. Very often people will say, yes, I'd like to marry an Israeli girl, or I'd like to marry a girl from here, a girl from there. That's a superficial, somebody's intrigued by her culture, right? That's not a good way, that's not a good basis for a marriage. There are so many difficulties in marriage without having to hurdle that cultural barrier also, the cultural barrier. So it would be recommended not to, obviously, if it works, it works, but that is not who you should be looking for. You should be looking for somebody with a background as similar as your own. Like, where are you from? Original?
From Moscow.
You're from Moscow. It would be very recommend that you find a girl who is from Moscow and went to the Neve Yerushalayim JLE, right? That would be the ideal for you. Okay, yeah.
I have two questions. The first question, my best friend went on a Shlepei, and 5 minutes into the girl getting into the car, looked at him and said, I know you're not my Bashar, so I'm not going to talk to you for the rest of the evening.
Oh, no.
What do you recommend doing in those types of situations? Ooh.
Slam the brakes and push her out the car. I certainly wouldn't spend any money on her. A woman opens a mouth like that to me, you know, as I say, obviously, yeah, well, you think you're not my, I'm not your best share, baby, you ain't my best share, that's for sure. But obviously, they say, well, thank you very much, it was nice meeting you, right? I had a woman say that to me on a date. After about 20 minutes, I didn't have one of the qualifications she was looking for, right? Somehow it came out very quickly. The shadchan should have investigated, right? It had to do with the Israeli-American difference, right? And I didn't have one of the qualifications she was looking for. After about 20 minutes, she said to me, well, I don't think this is going to work, right? And we had been walking around outside, right? And I wasn't at all disappointed. So I started walking in the direction of her home. She said to me, where are you going? So I said, well, I'm going to walk you back home. She said, why? I said, well, you know, we're not here for fun, right? It's not going to work. It's not going to work. That was it. We went back to our home. That was it, right? And no hard feelings, hopefully. But at a point that she already says that, well, what are you going to do? Yeah. Give her a quarter to her, take a bus home. Question. Yeah. Second.
Second question. What advice would you give for a
gear? A gear has the same halachic obligation as anybody else. A gear is a full-fledged Jew. A gear is as Jewish as a natural. If he's had a proper conversion, he's as Jewish as a natural-born Jew. And he's got an obligation to find a wife, find a shotgun, and get married.
As far as the time period?
Time period is no different than anybody with the time period would be the same time period as a Baal Tshuva. He's had a more colorful background than your average Meyasharim Jew or your average B'nai Brak Jew. Who, you know, the worst thing your B'nai Brak or Jew has done is he forgot to bench once in his life, forgot to make a brach, right? You know, he's been black. The 10 most wanted list in B'nai Brak is the notorious after bracha skipper, right? You know that in B'nai Brak, a town of 100,000 people, for a long time, they didn't even have a police department in the neighborhood, right? So if they're coming from that society, a guy who's been busted for drug, you know, who was always in the principal's office in high school because he was offering drugs to his teacher or whatever he was doing, right? So that is not going to mix culturally, right? You're starting off with a completely different mindset. Some people, and this is important, don't ever forget this, some people become Baal Tshuvas and they pretend to be somebody who they're not. Right? Some people become Baal Tshuvas, and then they'll only speak Aramaic, right, from that point on, right? They don't speak English, Hebrew, or anything else. They only speak Aramaic, right? When you see them, hi, good morning, how are you? Bereshis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim v'ezar. That's not who you are. That's not who you are. You have to be very realistic, right? People ask, what do you talk about when you go out on a shit up, right? I'm from and she's from, so what do you talk about? Well, we talk about movies we've seen, talk about books, or talk about things you've done. You have to be very, very normal about these things. You have to be very balanced. So if you have that type of background, so you do not want somebody with a more limited bag. You need somebody who can share your experiences with you. Okay? Yeah.
Okay. When you're going on Shira, is that what's
called?
Yeah.
If you're going on Shira, and you're seeing a woman, like in that period, like maybe you're seeing her for 3 months, maybe like you're not really sure about her, could you be going on another Shira at the same time?
There are people who do that, right? All that happens then is then you're not sure about two shidduchim, right? At the point that you get engaged, at a certain point, and I can tell you that at a certain point, if you are extremely enthusiastic about marrying this person, be real, real careful. If you're extremely enthusiastic, I know people who are divorced, having said, yes, she's definitely it, no question about it, right? The more enthusiastic you are about it, the more the chance that you are infatuated as opposed to thinking rationally, right? If you're extremely enthusiastic, that's not a good sign. What's going to happen is eventually you get to a point where rationally you see, A, I like her, you should like her. That's important. It's important to marry someone you like, right? I like her. And B, right? A, I like her. B, rationally, she would make a good wife for me. At a certain point, you're going to have to commit yourself, right? You're going to say, well, I need another date. When I was going out, after 6 dates, I started getting nervous, right? I was the hot dog that on the second date, I was already talking marriage. After 6 dates, I was getting nervous. And the reason I was getting nervous is I couldn't think of any real good reason why not to marry her, right? And at that point, I thought, well, now you got yourself in trouble, Kaplan, right? Now you're going to have to do something about it. So doing the clever thing, I went to the shadchan. I was so proud of myself. Went to the shadchan. I said, I'd like to take a break for 6 weeks and go out with other people. Right? I'd like to take a break and go out with other people. Right? And I told that to my wife, and she said, you know, great idea. We weren't married at the time. And she said, great idea. Right? And then I went out with one person, right, which was one of those where I would have liked to get out the car door. Right? And I came back. Then I still was very nervous about this. And the shadchan eventually came to me after 2 weeks, and the shadchan says, you cannot do this. You've got to give me a decision right now. You want to meet her again or you don't want to meet her again? Right? Then I went out on the seventh day, and I decided, okay, look, you know, it's going far enough. Right? I'm going to have to take the plunge. At a certain point, you have to make the commitment. Done with rationally, but you have to make the commitment. Right? So it's not ideal. It's really not fair to the two people that you're dating. To answer your question, it is not fair to be going out with two people simultaneously.
When you go on the
state,
is there a chaperone going with you?
Oh, no.
Is there a what?
Chaperone.
A chaperone? No. Very often the parents, I mean, it's an interesting question. Very often in traditional societies where parents are involved, see, by Baal Tshuva, very often the parents have very little involvement, right? They have no idea what their child's life, right? What he's become some religious fanatic. But in a traditional society, the parents will certainly meet you before they let you meet their daughter. Right, they're not going to sit there in the room with you. How natural could you be if you're sitting there with her parents, and her entire family? Hi, fellas, it's been nice. You know, you simply can't be natural. So obviously, you're not. There's no need for a chaperone to watch your behavior because they've checked into your character. And obviously, who they suspect needs a chaperone to watch it. I'm being very serious. Right, parents will do in a traditional society. Unfortunately, by Baal Tshuvas, you're more or less on your own. So you have to do the research on your own or have your rabbi do the research for you. Parents will do the research for their children and find somebody who they'd like their daughter to meet. Okay. Yeah?
If the girl has less religious background than the guy, who's going to influence the other?
Excellent question. The truth of the matter is that generally it is a good idea to find a woman who is a little stronger than you are, because the women tend to be stronger in that area. The men, we believe, are on a lower spiritual level than women. We believe women are on a higher spiritual level. And women are always the ones, throughout Jewish history, when the men impulsively were getting themselves into trouble, the men were the ones that worshipped the golden calf, the women were the ones that didn't want them to. The women have a much more calming influence, and the woman will very often create the religious atmosphere in the home. The woman will push the husband out of the house to go daven in the morning when he wants to sit home and loaf around, right? She's got more of that. She'll have the stronger willpower generally. Obviously, there are exceptions. We're generalizing. But it is a good idea to find a woman who is right where you are. And you don't have to be extremely, extremely... All you have to do is be committed to keeping the basic tenets of Yiddishkeit and being committed to spiritual growth. Then you find somebody else who's committed to growth, and the two of you can make a go of it. Okay, one more and we'll stop for tonight. Yeah.
When you're talking to the shachan, or if you're on a date, on a shidduch, how appropriate or inappropriate is to discuss your, like you're talking about shuva, you're telling like another woman about shuva, to discuss your previous sexual experience?
That's a good last question.
It depends how much she wants to know about you, right? She may have a girl in mind for you, and the girl has told the shadchan in advance that she's looking for somebody who's extremely pure, or somebody who's extremely impure, whatever it is, may ask you personal questions, right? At a certain point, it may be necessary to know. There is a certain point in Shidduchim when a Kohen is dating, a Kohen has certain halachic limitations of women that he can marry, the shadchan may have to get very personal with the girl, right? The shadchan will ask you any one of several questions. One thing I recommend, when you go to the shadchan, be as natural as possible, be yourself, but be honest. Tell the shadchan what you're looking for. You must make it very clear what you're looking for to avoid any type of mistake further on down the line.